Praise the Lord. Now we got it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We've had so much fun when after the Lord blessed us to be able to get the new equipment, and we set it up in the living room. We just sang and had the best time. It was so sweet. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads this afternoon. Father, I thank you for your covenant word. I thank you, O Lord God, that you're the deliverer. That we are coming into your presence, Lord, in authority and dominion and power in your name. Because you have said it so, Lord. And Father, this afternoon we command our being to your attention. Let's just all say it together. Lord Jesus, I command my being to your attention. I make myself available for you to write your word indelibly upon my heart. I surrender all of my being unto you, Jesus, that you might have your way in me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We talked this morning about our healing, and I apologize for not having everything just put together exactly so it would be quick for us to get it all. Not having planned to bring it, I wasn't quite ready, but the Lord bless his word to our heart. Amen. This afternoon I thought we would continue in what we talked about, and this time we would take the book of Deuteronomy. And just start, probably I began in about the fifth chapter and the first verse. And we're just going to walk through the word. We're going to see where the curses are. And then we're going to break those curses in the name of Jesus. Now, this is your part in all of this. When we call these things that you think might be and have been a problem in you, then you begin to address it. If you feel that you have disobedience in your life, then begin to address that disobedience and pull that spirit down and break that curse off of your life. And as the Lord shows us the different areas, then we will come back and we will work through them together. And Brother Henry is going to come at that time, and he's going to talk about the disease, and then we're going to talk about the infirmity spirit that has bound the personality until it can function out through or be seen in the physical man. For instance, arthritis, the manifestation in the physical is, you know, bound up joints and a lot of pain, can't move. And when it finishes, it'll leave that person in a fetal position and their joints will be locked and they can't walk or talk hardly or, you know, take care of themselves. That's the end result of arthritis when it takes over and consumes the being. As this is taking place, and before it becomes into the fullness of that kind of manifestation, we find that in the personality, in the being, there's bitterness, there's resentment, there's self-pity, unforgiveness, strong forces. And when the mind is full of this, the physical man will begin to manifest it. And the first thing you know, you can't give love, you can't receive it, it's hard for you to, you know, it's going to take its toll. Now, this is a bloodline bondage, a spirit that can come right through the genetic response from generation to generation. Like a snowball rolling down the mountain, every generation that doesn't deal with it, it consumes, it gets stronger, it gets out of hand. And so we see a lot of things today manifesting in the physical that have already controlled the mental or the body has accepted it. And so what we're going to do is we're going to break these curses that's allowed our physical man to be consumed, allowed our mind to be taken over by the sickness and disease, the weaknesses that have entered our being because man has sinned, broken God's laws, and in that unrepented, unforgiving sin, every generation that didn't deal with it, it became stronger. We see things happening now where children are born with no hands or no feet, no brain. The enemy so full in the bloodline, and that spirit so ready to consume in the physical, it doesn't even give that generation the opportunity to work through it. It just takes, that curse takes what is allowed, and that person is born in that condition. We see a lot of club-feeted children, but you notice not so much now as we used to see it back a couple of generations ago. It's very common for little children to have, when they learn to walk, maybe have even surgery to straighten out their little feet so they can walk. I'm finding that your physical man is representative of a spiritual weaknesses or tendencies. Like hands represent your service to the Lord. Your hand, you're serving people, you're helping, and you're giving of yourself. Your feet represent your walk, your steadfast, your obedience, your discipline before the Lord. Where you're walking. A lot of folks are limping because their life is out of order and they have things in their life that they haven't dealt with. We find that every part of our being, you find when people have chronic kidney problems, the kidneys are representative of your emotions. When your emotions are out of balance or undeveloped, and when it breaks down in through the physical, you will have the weaknesses of kidneys. The same thing happens to the heart. The heart, you find the what's behind that is stress and anxiety, and the big root is worry. And when that goes through a couple generations, that weakness is built right into the physical man. And when the age gets to a certain place and those things are not dealt with, the person will be traumatized by a heart condition. We just, you know, it just gets clearer and clearer. And I'm sure this Miss Mary, that's a nurse, could probably really tell it to you a lot clearer than I'm able to. All of our being, when we find Jesus, belongs to Him, when we give ourselves to Him. And so in our salvation understanding, the word salvation means deliverance. We are equipped in that birthing process of being born by the Spirit to now deal with ourself and possess, in other words, take into our being that eternal life understanding that every limitation that I had before, in Jesus' name, I now can have the victory over it. And the Lord is moving in us, teaching us in this last day. Because we have to have the truth. The world is in a pitiful condition. Sickness and disease is out of hand. We talked a little of this morning. All that our government systems are trying to get a health care plan to make people accept the limitations of infirmities instead of coming to Jesus and dealing with it and praying through and keeping all your parts so that all your parts can praise and worship the Lord and do the good that they were put in your body to do. God didn't make anything that wasn't going to have a function in our being, see. And so there are things we can live without, but that's going to put pressures in other areas. It has to. Now, so let's begin this afternoon in Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter. And we're going to begin at the first verse. And this is the Amplified Bible. And Moses called all Israel, and he said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the ordinances, the laws, the precepts, God's way, see, which I speak in your hearing this day, that you may learn them and take heed and do them. So the word of God is not to be neglected. That word to hear, discipline, obedience, means to listen to and act upon. That's what obedience means in the Word of God. And so the Lord is telling us to hear, to listen to all the ordinances, the laws of God. They are our protection. And when we obey God's laws and we purpose to do His way, then His blessings, already spoken into being, are going to normally and naturally flow into your life. You can't outgive Him. You can't outbless Him. His prosperity is planned and given unto you when you begin to walk in the principles of God's laws. Now, some of our brothers some time ago got some things out of hand, and people named and claimed, and they did some areas out of their greed and their selfishness and desires that were not committed to the Lord. And they caused a lot of imbalance in people's lives. But when it comes around and you begin to think on it, faith is a blessing to us. Trusting God for what He said and believing what He said and applying it, listening, hearing the word of the Lord. All of these areas in our being must be trusted to Him, that He can bring forth our peace and our joy and our everlasting covenant, understanding that He never leaves us or forsakes us. Nothing can happen outside of His plan. His plan is directed to blessing our life and prospering our ways and showing us who we are in Him. All of this is God's plan, and none of it is to be flung away or put on the back burner for some other day. This is the day we have to understand who we are in Christ Jesus. So the Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. And the Lord made this covenant not with our fathers, but with us, who are all of us here and alive this day. And the Lord spoke with you face to face in the mount and out of the midst of the fire. And I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire. And you went not up into the mount. And he said, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And you shall have no other gods before me or besides me. And you shall not make for yourself to worship a graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above or is that in the earth beneath or is that in the water under the earth. And you shall not bow down yourself to serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation, to those who hate me, and showing mercy and steadfast love to thousands and to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. And this is how we all got here. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in falsehood or without purpose. In Zechariah 5, it says that the thief and the liar are cut off from God. Being disciplined and obedient in the ways of the Lord, because of God's love in our life, because of our desire to please Him and want all that He has for us, because of the knowledge of our spiritual birthing, the process of life in Him, we are coming to this understanding that God's ways are the only ways that are going to work in this last day. And as much as I might want to do what I want to do, if I program God out of my life, His blessings aren't going to be there. I may get by for a while, but like the guy driving down the wrong side of the highway, you may go 10 miles and never get bumped, but the law of average says that one of these days you're going to get plowed because you're on the wrong side of the road. See? So if we're going to be disciplined and obedient before the Lord, then we have to know His ways. His ways, His laws are to bless us. They're to protect us from evil. I cite you that a man would leave his wife and leave his mother and father and take unto himself one wife, and that they two twain become one flesh, as the Word declares. That wasn't God just trying to keep everybody from having a good time and pleasing theirself. God had a reason. He knew the capability of the mind. He knew what would happen when men and women went from bed to bed and gave themselves to one another in acts of uncleanness, that demonic forces would be transferred, and whatsoever man would give himself to, that's what he would become the servant of. And as the generation would come forth, his generation would be polluted with uncleanness and perversion, a burning lust, until the mind would be so consumed by desires of uncleanness and perversion, the baser emotions would take hold, and that man would be as a beast. We see this beast arising out of the earth today. Perverted acts, perverted things taking place aloud, promiscuity everywhere. Our advertisement, a system full of sexual thoughts and visions of nakedness, trying to promote a control to the baser emotions of humanity, where Satan can march in and out of the life. What is happening? We're seeing nervous breakdown. We're seeing people that can't give love or receive love, because they have operated in lust rather than love. We see children born out of lust and not love. The marriage bed defiled continually because we haven't taught it right. Wounds and scars and abuse, because that beast nature of self-indulgence will do everything it can to take what it desires. And so we've got a generation that's growing up and evolving around us that needs Jesus terribly, that needs to understand that God's laws are not a heavy hand on you to keep you from being all that you can be, but God's laws are a protecting force to our life, to keep us from the nervous breakdown, from the broken emotions, from the underdeveloped personality, from the cancers of the death realm that come into the factors of the being. We see so many people with cancer, in ladies with cancer in their female organs, cancer of the breast, undeveloped nurturing emotions not allowed because they were pulled into the perversions of lust rather than the desires of love. We're talking very plain to you this afternoon. All of these must be brought into understanding and taught to the people, to the church. We've got to get it right. The world's looking at us. If we don't know what's going on, how do you think we're going to tell them that we know what's going on? You know, you can't. It's seen everywhere. The downtroddenness. You pan a congregation and you see the hurt and the wound, the scars on the faces, the eyes, the windows of the heart. We see the enemy approaching and trying to take his control, to bring the body into a place of perverse, beastly authority, total perverted uncleanness. And so this day that we live in, we must command our being to the Lord and address in honesty what's going on in here. If you've got a problem with thoughts coming to you that are unclean, when you look at people going down the street or on the television or have thoughts and desires, then there's something there that's causing that when it's not uplifting and blessing in God's way. And so we've got to address that. Like we said this morning, many of us are victims of what our parents did or their parents did. We're living under a curse, trying to serve the Lord with a curse in effect, because we didn't understand how to break it or take our privilege of salvation and understand that it's done. Possess that authority in the name of Jesus. That the rebellion, lawlessness, rebellion, iniquity, the word calls it, that's been visited from the fathers to the children to the third and the fourth generation. We're seeing a cup of mixture that is full to the brim. And we've got to begin to understand how we got this way. Now, so, you'll not take to yourself or worship a graven image. I think that every person ought to look through their house, see the little precious things that you are gathering and collecting, pray over them and ask the Lord to show you if there is anything there that is a graven image, that has been bowed down to the work of a man's hands, that would call a god into existence, an idol. A lot of times we have thought something was cute and pretty, only to find out that it carried with it a curse. If you'll notice, there are a lot of trolls. This is a Swedish demon that is a curse in our land today. The shelves in the stores are full of them. You walk down the aisles of the toys and you see the cute little girl dresses and little boy pants on pure demons. That's all you can say for the image, the face that's on them. That's all you can say. And the people are buying them by the hands full because they are ignorant of what of the curse that they bring. That troll curse is darkness, blasphemy, and damnation to your household. A lot of things that seem all right. We look at the unicorn. The unicorn is a horse with a horn in the middle of his forehead. It curses your finances. It's a curse of mythology that curses the finances of him who owns it. The horse is the symbol of the flesh. And the horn is a symbol of authority. The flesh authority. And children are collecting them because they think it's cuter. They want something to identify with. And they don't understand. Hoot owls. The symbol of darkness. They say, get one and put it in your garden. It'll scare the snakes away. You just bring the symbol of darkness on your property and you open the door in that symbol to whatever darkness wants to lurk around. Frogs. If there's a plague in Egypt, I don't want it around me. That's right. You find again that there are other things that have hidden behind them destructive forces to take over the mind. To bring that person to a place of control. I was called on the telephone recently to some people in Illinois, and they were Baptist people, preachers, and they were having a problem with a lady in their church. And they began to pray to try to help her, and she was pitching a fit and carrying on, and they couldn't hardly hold her, and the demon was really manifesting and acting out. So someone in Tulsa that knew me, about me, in the Methodist church in Tulsa, were friends of the preacher's wife, and she called them to pray, and they told her my name and gave her my phone number from one of my books, and that's how they got a hold of me. I've never seen these people. Their little daughter had a collection of probably 2,000 pigs. Pig is an unclean animal. And the mother told me that the daughter, who was about 14, when she started that collection, she started acting out greedy, selfish, didn't want anybody in her room, always pulling, you know, eating up everything on the table. They were having to just, you know, they just couldn't understand what had happened to their child, like overnight. All this greed and selfishness was so, and arguments continually. Well, I said to them, what kind of collections does your daughter have? And have you looked in her room lately? Well, when they told me, I said, well, now what are the characteristics of a pig? And they said, greed and selfishness and dirt, and that was nothing. They couldn't get her to take a bath anymore. That filth was there. And those 2,000 pigs in her possession were becoming a controlling force. This was out of normal. This was a problem here. Now, the lady that was having the problem, this was her daughter. I had prayed with the lady over the telephone. I said, I haven't done this like this before, but if you'll hold the telephone up to her, because she's laying on the floor after the demon had thrown her across the room like somebody dead, and they didn't know what to do. And so I began to pray for her, and I said, you hold the telephone up to her ear, and I'm going to command in the name of Jesus and break all this curse. And the Lord spoke to me as I prayed and told me that there was a lot of Indian background in control here. And this was witchcraft in one of its highest forms, like the shaman witchcraft of Indian idolatry. And when I got to that part where I said, I break the curse of the Great White Father, that activated that thing in her, and they had to grab her and hold her again. And she began to scream like horror. And suddenly, it came out of her. The Jezebel, the witch, all of that, many witches that were in that woman. I don't know how she was functioning with all the control that was there. Well, what had started all of this, as I got little bits and little bits as I talked with them from time to time, because this was an ongoing thing for a week or two here. Every day, I'd have two or three phone calls and they'd be working with this lady. I found out in questioning them that she and her husband had just moved into a new house. It was on a lake and had a nice, was built already. They didn't build it. And it had a, you know, nice grounds, and they were real pleased to get such a nice house. But this house was on the site of Indian burial grounds. And all of this manifestation started when these two loving Christians moved in and started praying and reading their Bible in that house. A lot of things started happening. All of the things were bought for the little girl. The children began to act out in disobedience. The woman would go through her house and find herself wandering here and there with not knowing how she really got there. A lot of things that were just bizarre were happening. And so as they began to tell me all of this, we began to pray, and I said, you need to march around your boundaries like the children of Israel did to Jericho, and command all this idolatry broken, and command these walls of this division to fall down in the name of Jesus. So they did that. And they marched all around, and when they had finished, the husband got on the riding lawnmower and he was going to cut the grass. And as he was going, all of a sudden, he was out there in the yard by himself. The lawnmower stopped. He couldn't get it started. He looked around, and there standing in front of him was the biggest horse he'd ever seen, with the biggest Indian he'd ever seen on it. And they were glaring at him. It was in the spirit, but it was very real to him, and he saw it very plainly. And he said he just began to tremble. He jumped off of the lawnmower and he ran in the house and pushed up the door and hoped that it would go away. You see, they had stirred up some things that they couldn't quite understand, and so they were going to try to get away from it as best they could. Well, now the lady that had such good deliverance, her husband, started manifesting after he'd seen all of that, almost the same kind of spiritual problems that his wife had had. And he had all of the, you know, the enemy was throwing him around, so they put the telephone up to his ear, and I prayed with him, and he did the same kind of screaming, and the spirits came out of him that had, were binding him up, and I broke the curses again of the Indian curse that was there, that land belonged to the burial ground of death, and we broke that curse. Well, now the Four Square Church pastor is coming up to help the First Baptist minister. And they are praying about the situation in this little family. Every time they'd get them about straightened out, well, here it would all happen again. And then they'd all get on the telephone to me, and we were going through the same thing. And I said, I got to talk to you. I'm going to ask you some questions. I want to know what kind of books you're reading. I want to know what kind of prayers you're praying. I want to know what you're saying. You know, how does this have a right to keep coming back? Mm-hmm. Well, I found out that they were reading some books on healing of the memories. There are some people that have some psychology principles on healing. And they are put in good form in books. They may tell you a lot about yourself. But here's what it does. It puts the circumstance back on you instead of setting you free from it, see? It takes you back to the time when you fell coming down the steps and everybody laughed at you at your birthday party. Psychology will tell you to go back and look at that. And there you are with all that embarrassment all over again, and you begin to weep and cry as your mind takes in that circumstance. And they forget. Jesus forgave. That's what that wound of transgression was all about. Jesus forgives us. And so what they were doing to this young lady, I don't know how she stood it. Every time we'd get the thing out of her, they'd put it all back on because they'd read the passages from the book and say, now you got to do this and you got to do this and you got to do this. And so she was going back in her remembrance and she was taking all that hurt and pain right back in again as she brought it all up. And the first thing you know, here she was, they were trying to have a service, and the same thing again. She fell out in the floor and began to scream and cry and carry on, and there was the same situation. And so I said to them, you cannot treat the symptom, you've got to remove the cause. See? When we cast out the demon, we remove the cause. If you open yourself to the symptom again, the demon's going to march right back in. And he's going to do everything he did the first time and possibly more. Because when the house has been swept and garnished and nothing replacing that of service to the Lord or seeking God for your life and praying and worshiping Him, then the Word says that seven worse are going to come in and they're going to take you over. And so this lady, every time it seems she was getting worse. Well, now at the session, the last time I prayed for her, they had the Four Square minister there. And he got on the phone with me at one point, and he was really praying. They were just devastated to know what to do. And then when I began to tell them what they were doing, it's like somebody turned the light bulb on, and they could see. The last time I talked to these guys, they were doing great because they understood what's going on. Every one of us are a unique individual. What might be hurting me, you would laugh and just snap your fingers and go on. But I'd be falling in the floor weeping and crying for a week because I'd be hurt. We're all different, but yet we're all alike, hallelujah, in the love of Jesus. And the power and authority of the name of Jesus belongs to us, and we have the right to stand in His name and demand our adversary to loose us. And when we command Him to go, He has got to obey you. He cannot stay there unless you think He can. Now that's where he stays. If you start praying in doubt and unbelief, then he's going to just not move. He'll just snuff up and pout or whatever and just close up, and you won't get anywhere. But when you know the name of Jesus, you're his rightful heir, that name is vested to you, given to you, and in that name you command the enemy, he's going to obey that name. He cannot stay there, beloved. He has no power or authority in the name of Jesus when it's believed upon. Now, so we don't want any graven images. I encourage you to look through your house. When I was in Brazil, the Lord warned me not to bring a lot of things back, because a lot of the craftsmen in the foreign countries curse the items by their god. Their god being a pagan, idolatrous god. They think it's blessing, but to us it's calamity. So before you purchase a lot of the things that you may think are cute and pretty, or you think you can't live without, you need to really be in prayer to know that there's nothing about it that's going to hurt your house or bring the enemy a right to come in through your walls and disturb your peace. He is not going to go away because you don't want to believe he's there. See, when you command him to go, he has to move. I was in, this was Tulsa also, some years back, and another minister and I went to these people's house because they had about a little 9-year-old boy. He was walking in his sleep at night, and they were finding him out in the street, and the parents were terrified. How he could get through that locked door, they had no idea. But they just had been weeks with hardly any sleep because somebody had to stay awake and watch this little boy. The father, you could tell when we came in and I looked at him with the Holy Spirit eyes of discernment, I saw the father had a lot of emotional problems. He had a deep-seated anger, and he covered it over with a nice big smile, but you could see that he had problems in his emotions. And so I knew that if we were going to help his little boy, we're going to have to help Daddy first, because he's the head of the house, and that's divine order. And so I explained this to the family, and they received what we said. And the father sat down, and I took him through deliverance and called out that anger and a lot of the things that were there, and he had good deliverance. Then we did the mama, and then we did the little boy. And after we had prayed for the little boy and we knew that the Lord had really touched him, that he was very open to receive. And I asked the mama to let me look in his room to see if there was anything in there that could be hurting him in this way. And what I found on his bed was a blanket in the shape of a great big green frog. And that little child slept under that every night. And all of that plague and undisciplined behavior of that frog nature, that slimy frog nature, the pestilence, that little boy was having to do battle. And he didn't know how to do battle. And so to get away from, he'd get up in the night in his sleep. And he'd wander all around, not knowing where he was. And the enemy was really making a big bruise in that family. Well, the lady took the blanket and threw it away. He had some toys that were ungodly, and she got rid of them. And as far as I know, everything's fine in that household today. I'm talking about a lot of this so that we can begin to recognize this in our own household and in our children's household. And as we go through and pray, we'll know how to pray. Sometimes you can't just jerk all these things away from the kids and just leave their room empty. If you take anything out that's abomination, be sure you put something good in there for them so that they can understand that you are disciplined and loving and honoring God, and you're also loving them and you're wanting them to have the happy things that makes a good time and pleasure for them also. So our being is being scrutinized, taught by the Holy Spirit. And areas that where we have lived in times past and didn't think anything about, suddenly we know we can't allow these things anymore. House cleaning time. Where you live and where you live. This old dust man's going to line up with the Word of God. And our identity is going to be the identity of Jesus Christ now. So we see that the Lord is speaking to observe the Sabbath. He's talking about our labor for 6 days. The seventh day we would rest. And he talks about all the people involved in that rest in our household. And he goes on to honor and to take heed of the Sabbath day. To honor your father and your mother. Beloved, this is very important. To honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. When children are rebellious and they argue with your parents, they're disobedient and they are always fighting back and never trusting the words of their parents, they need to understand they're shortening their days. God intends for discipline and obedience to our parents. And if we are not in that, you know, you may not be in agreement with them. Life, because I wasn't raised by my mother and father and raised in the orphanages, when I began to learn this, I went and found my mom. My father was living in heaven already, and I loved my father, and we had a good relationship. But I want you to know I had some contention with my mom for giving me away. And I didn't want to go about her, and I didn't want her to see my son. I didn't want to have anything to do with her because I thought no matter what, hell or high water couldn't make me give my son away. I really had a big old root of bitterness in me. And I had a whole lot of unforgiveness. And it was the first trip I ever made all by myself that far away in my car. And I got in my car and I came to Kentucky and I found my mother and I asked her to forgive me. I said, "You may not understand a thing I'm about to say to you, but I want you to know this. I forgive you. And no matter what you do or say to me or however you accept it, on my part, there's not going to be anything in me that's not going to like you anymore and not forgive you. I intend for this to be gone." My mother broke into tears and pushed through that screen door and we fell in each other's arms and we have been loving people ever since. Hallelujah. And nothing's going to stop that. Because we honor our parents. Our parents might have not have done everything right for us. You might think your mom and daddy don't know. Somehow or other, when I got 15, I thought I knew everything. You know, when I was 19, I couldn't imagine how my parents knew so much so quick or where I was living at that time. I was with my dad then. How could all of this be so quick in our mind? Our parents are the best friends that we will ever have. Don't forget it. There's a covenant of bloodline love that the Lord puts into being that's a strength, hallelujah, in the time of trouble and storm. And that love makes us hold together and bond together and love so intently.